heavenly instruments are played by the power of vibrations, but their mighty organ, which occupies nearly a block in extent, is played upon by some of the masters, Handel, Beethoven, Mozart, Mendelssohn or some other angel equally skilled. Think of it. To hear such men play, or to hear Emma Abbott sing as she never sang in her life upon the material plane. How grand to be privileged to enter the Temple of Light. The interior overhead is studded with hundreds of blue and rose-colored stars. Soft rainbow-tinted lights bathe everything in a beautiful glow. Millions upon millions of angels are to be seen, and yet there would be room for a million more if it were necessary. And when the mighty choir, composed of thousands of voices, joins in one grand burst of song, the grandeur of the occasion is indescribable. Then every angel present I three prepared to receive a blessing that will ensure new strength in spiritual unfoldment. First come the little babies, pure and spotless as the newly opened flower, then the children, and then the youth and maiden, and last those who have had years of material experience. All this scene is very grand and impressive and must be witnessed to be fully appreciated. The ceremony ends in a grand burst of heavenly music and all pass out with joyful souls, thankful that they have been privileged to participate in the grand view of angels. How glorious to be an angel! To know that you have eternity to perfect yourself in, to know that the trials of your life have all been laid away and from henceforth on all shall be glorious, beautiful and free. Truly those who pass to the spiritual side of life have gained a wonderful experience. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. St. Matthew, 5th chapter, 16th verse. Chapter 3. Paradise of God. Content in this chapter. Chosen inhabitants. Magnificence. Perfect vision. Connected by vibrations. Spiritual ether of life. The immortal divine principle. Spiral vibration and electric cell united. Divine laws lowered. Soul needs upliftment. Divine principle. The only force. Deeper than body or brain. Higher vibrations not understood. Divine principle and immortal soul harmonized, children of men, divine insignia, children of God. There is a sphere in the eternal world which is called the Paradise of God. Within that sphere Jesus dwells with the disciples, and those who have been chosen to dwell there. This sphere is not the abode of the spirits or the angels. Only those who have been solicited to dwell there can enter. Many there are who never come away to mingle with those who dwell in the other spheres. The grandeur and magnificence of this place is beyond conception, and those who dwell there have attained that spiritual enlightenment which enables them to understand all things pertaining to the divine in spiritual and human expression. A great many wonderful secrets are sent from the Paradise of God by spiritual vibration to the angelic and spiritual worlds, and after they have been understood by the members of the angelic world they are then given to the material world if it is ready to understand them. The world is just beginning to understand that the spiritual ether which is above the earth's atmosphere abounds in the life force which emanates from the great universal God of heaven and earth, and that it is the substance of which the Creator is composed and cannot be destroyed, for it is spiritualized, etherealized electricity. Before it can enter into the form of a human being it has to be modified somewhat by contact with material forces, but all the same it is life. It is divine and emanates from God. It is the immortal principle of the Creator. It will be many years before this will be understood by the masses. It is something that must come gradually into the minds of the people, and like steps in progression one must be surmounted before the next one is understood. This divine principle to the spiritual sight is in the form of spiral vibrations and electrical cells. These two united form the perfect element of life. They are far too spiritual to be comprehended or seen as yet by the average mind. However, when the mind has developed itself sufficiently to comprehend spiritual principle, the creation of life will be from a higher standpoint than is embraced by the understanding of today. The uniting of the spiral vibrations and electrical life cells forms the essence of immortal life, and since this is eternal from the Creator it cannot be destroyed, nor can it of itself waste its force. It may not be able to express itself in full strength through the physical expression, but that fault is with the material body, because the divine laws are not understood and because it is difficult to balance harmoniously material and spiritual elements. In the paradise of God, divine laws are understood and harmony prevails, but these laws sent out to the angelic and spiritual mind and thence conveyed to material minds have not the power that they had in the beginning, for they have been lowered instead of elevated, being obliged to come through so many different elements. The soul would uplift itself at the time of the creation of life, it would receive the divine light in its wonderful force, and the God principle would be expressed in the future growth and glorious spiritual development and unfoldment. I am sorry to say that the soul does not understand the higher laws of its being, and the life principle does not receive the divine insignia that it should nor that it was intended it should receive. The divine principle of life that emanates from God is continually at work. While in the physical body it really is the only force. The other principles which by some appear to be a part of the life force, are only sidetracks of one great course, and are nothing themselves if cut off from the one great course. In analyzing the human system, people forget to go beyond the body or the brain. They do not reach out to the divine principle which is the true force that keeps the machinery in working order. They never stop to think that there is a power outside of the physical body from which all of this wonderful activity emanates. The eye of the spiritual can behold the divine vibrations as they are directed toward the work of creation in human form. They are more powerful than any ray of electricity that has ever been seen by the material sight and are interesting to those who understand such divine forces. In the paradise of God, all creative law has its source, and if there existed a human mind who could comprehend this, the divine light would flow free and pure into the soul as it dwells within the human form. The laws of spiritual vibrations could be made more free and perfect if this were understood. There would not be so much in harmony, so much that is misunderstood existent upon the human plane of life. Fox, the Holy Spirit of divine principle would be in harmony with the immortal soul. The human body would be a more fitting abiding place for the divine emanation from God, and the stamp of a higher force would be set upon the children of God. The children of God seems hardly appropriate when the expression is so imperfect as yet. We can only say the children of men / for the God stamp upon their brows has not yet appeared. It is only within and has not expressed itself outwardly. Let us look forward to that time when every individual will bear upon his countenance the divine insignia of God. Let us pray that men will learn to look to the fountainhead of life and power and harmonize that knowledge with the God principle existent within the soul. This will polarize the law of growth and reproduction and stamp the creation with the divine inheritance of immortal life. Then shall men be the children of God. Then shall the paradise of God be attuned to the immortal and the divine within every created soul. Then shall all sin, sickness, poverty and ignorance be overcome, and that which now appears evil shall develop into ultimate good. The divine kingdom within the soul may then be connected with the divine kingdom of heaven. By the law of spiritualized electrical vibrations, the divine essence of God, which vibrates through the spiritual ether above the earth's atmosphere, will then perform its true mission in connection with the children of men. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God and he shall be my son. Revelations 21st chapter, 7th verse. Chapter 4. Pleadies of God, continued. Content in this chapter. Pinnacle of immortality, sphere of divinity, all transcendent, center of all, divine principle, inexhaustible, comprehended only by the most highly developed spiritual mind, method of divine activity, material and divine connected, life, a chain of vibrations, thought, a material and spiritual essence, vibrations, 12 colors, astro-spiritual organism, electric, physical organism, magnetic. What a glorious world is that at the pinnacle of immortality, the paradise of God, the sphere of divinity, where dwell the saints of light and where is the center of God principle and power, where higher laws are created and made manifest, and sent by vibrations through the souls of angels to the subconscious mind of man. The paradise, of God is in beauty and grandeur beyond the comprehension of mortal man. Man must grow, unfold and develop gradually, and the time will come when the understanding of divinity will be to him as an open book. God, the creator and giver of all life, is centered in the paradise or sphere mentioned. From this great and glorious center of all light, life and wisdom, divine forces generated through the heavenly and spiritual spheres and through all nature as it exists upon the material plane and the astral or solar system. This is the divine principle of God, and its supply is inexhaustible. As fast as it flows out and enters the soul of all nature, it radiates back to the God center and therefore cannot be destroyed. It is the highest and most spiritual force that can exist and is electrical in its nature, but so powerful and of such refined influence that it cannot be seen by the eye of the physical or comprehended by the mind of man. That some wonderful unseen force exists is well known, but to know what that force is, man must be educated up to it by degrees. The spiritual mind can comprehend this principle, but not in its complete sense until it has unfolded and strengthened its powers of comprehension. These vibrations, as they emanate from the Godhead of life and power, are of a deep purple or blue in tint, with a golden light upon each side. They penetrate the organism very strongly at a time when there is to be a parting of spiritual and material substance, also at the time of birth and creation. By this one may understand that the life force as it radiates through the physical is of God and is eternal with God, and the material plane, although so far removed from the sphere and center of divine life, is connected directly with this divine center mentioned. If this were not so, the material universe would be nothing at all. Chaos would be the result, for the supply that emanates from the sun would be cut off and there could be no life to exist in the world. Life is a chain of vibrations existing from the Godhead through the different forms of godly expression. Since man himself is the direct principle of God, all other forms of godly expression have been created for the benefit of man and for his ultimate good, if he will only accept and use them according to divine life. If he does not do this, inharmony in his life is the result. The sole principle of every force in nature is generated first in the paradise a copyright F God. These forces, as they are vibrated to material nature, take on a coarser material element in which they are clothed, just as the spirit of man is clothed in the material element of the body. The divine essence so refined in itself must have a coarser element to balance it when it has to do with material conditions upon the earth plane. Thought is composed of material and spiritual essence. Spiritual feeling has no material in it of itself, but was upon finding expression through the physical body. It is interesting to note the vibrations that connect with the divine in the paradise of God, as well as those vibrations which are more material in their nature and connect material minds with material. As I have said before, such things may be witnessed only by the highly spiritualized individual, and this power may be gained by inner reflection and concentration. The different forces as they exist in God's paradise are of many and wonderful colorings. The vibration that creates life in the individual is composed of 12 different colors, and each color relates to some force of the created organism in its spiritual and physical sense, and is worked out through the period of the individual's life. The astro-spiritual organism is composed of electrical cells that draw their force from the great center of life. The storage battery of life and generative force is situated at the great nerve center, the solar plexus. The astro-spiritual is the spiritual connected with the physical, either while the body is in active use or while the spiritual is apart from the physical at night when the body is asleep. The physical organism of itself is magnetic and entirely dependent upon the spiritual for its life and supply, just as the spiritual is dependent upon the God principle for its supply. In the case of one, the force is intended to be eternal, while the other, according to the laws of the universe, must go back into nature. The particles that nature is continually taking up and throwing off have existed perhaps in different parts of the earth many miles distant. The scales of a fish may have been dissolved through chemical changes. TV exist in the deep red coloring of some person's lips, and so there is a force going on continually from the paradise of God down to the working of life upon the earth plane. The light which emanates from God's paradise is of different forms and colors. A thought vibration is not of the same color as a life vibration for the reason that it does not require so many elements to build it up. A thought vibration is blue, a vibration of feeling is a blending of the two colors, rose pink and green, a vibration sent out from the mind of the individual to benefit another financially is red in color, so one who would send out financial vibrations should hold that color in his mind when he is interested along this line. Chapter V. Spiritual type of Jesus. Content in this chapter. A summer scene, angels and children, Jesus, the central figure, the reflected light, deep spirituality, the little child, like a doll, its mother, the sin, soul reading, the pathetic scene. It was in the eternal world, beyond the boundaries of the earth's atmosphere, a scene within one of the many beautiful spheres of heaven. It was a summer scene, a background of grand old trees bending with the weight of fruit and blossoms. A group of angelic beings in white robes stood in the foreground, their attention fixed upon a grand, kingly figure surrounded by countless numbers of little children who were reclining upon the green grass, or floating just above in air and bending closely to the presence of the kingly figure who stood in the center of the group. It was the figure of a spiritual type of man. Tall and commanding in figure and clothed in a sparkling raiment of white, around which was a halo of spiritual light. The head was large with a profusion of brown, waving hair, the face was a study, such mighty strength was shown and yet such love and tenderness. The eyes were the most wonderful features of the face. They were of a dark purple color, and while their glance was filled with love and tenderness, yet there was a power that showed they could look right into the soul of an individual. The light which was reflected from the person of this individual was so intense as to dazzle the eye at first glance, this manifestation being an indication of deep spirituality. This person, Jesus, had been talking to the angelic beings who surrounded him, and the words he had spoken had been received with intense interest. He had now finished his discourse and the little children had gathered around him to receive the spiritual vibrations of love sent out to them, and as he stood there an angel from a distance came, bringing to him a little child, a tiny little creature, so small that it seemed almost like a doll. He took it tenderly in his arms and touched its soft cheek and hair, and the face of the little one was uplifted to the face of Jesus as though it understood that here was love, gentleness and compassion. As he stood there holding the tiny infant, the group of angels separated and the figure of a woman was led in. As her eyes rested upon the face of Jesus they dropped, and the intense light dazzled her for a moment. Then a strange thing happened. She was forced to look straight at the face of Jesus, who held in his arms her little child. This child was the effect of her sin. The look directed toward her was so intense, so strange, and to her, so awful, for she knew that he read her soul, and for a moment such agony, such remorse, swept through her whole being that it seemed she suffered for a lifetime during that one moment. Then the figure of Jesus changed in its attitude and he took the little child and placed it in the mother's arms, lifting her from the ground, where she had fallen in her despair. For a moment his hands rested upon her head as though in blessing, and then, with her little child, she was led away to take up her life in one of the many spheres of the eternal world. This is the Savior as I have seen him on the other side. During December, 1901, when some parties were trying to make it appear that Jesus was only a historical myth, I asked my daughter to give me an article describing Jesus as she had seen him in heaven, and this is it. Chapter V. A Trip to the Sun. Content in this chapter. Embodied and disembodied spirits can travel together, and what is seen, delightful scenes, the sun and her vibrations, burning heat is in the interior. The exterior is interesting. But we enter the interior, what we find, sunspots, the fountain of living water, the arcana of light. Our party consists of my mother, an embodied spirit, my brother and myself, who are inhabitants of that celestial region beyond the shadows of the material plane. My brother and myself have visited that great world, the sun, before, but it is the first time that our mother's spirit has ventured so far from the physical body. It is night upon the earth, but to us there is no darkness. All is clear and bright, and we float rapidly and easily through the air. There are no sensations of fear, only a delightful sense of freedom, that is quite unlike any material sensation. Up and up we go through the different gradations of atmosphere beyond the atmosphere of the Earth, and we see the millions and millions of stars that hang in space, held in their place by the laws of attraction. The air is filled with beings like ourselves, some of whom are embodied spirits and are connected by that long silver cord, which extends from the top of the head to the physical body now wrapped in sleep far away upon the earth plane. Those who are disembodied have parted with that silver cord, and consequently there is no fear that they may be obliged to return to the earth on account of the restlessness of the sleeping body. What delightful scenes are shown all about us! And to our spiritual vision the sun in the distance looks like a great crimson globe, around which are different colored vibrations extending in all directions. These vibrations produce different effects by the time they pass through the various atmosphere extending between the Earth and Sun. The ether is quite different from the Earth's atmosphere, since it contains elements too fine and ethereal to sustain the physical body. As we draw near to the Sun, we can see that the rays appear more powerful, although we feel no unpleasant effects, since heat has no effect upon the spiritual organism. Although the Sun is many millions of miles away from the Earth, we are enabled to reach it in a comparatively short space of time, and we find that its appearance is quite different from that shown to the people of the Earth. In appearance it resembles burnished copper, and it has a hard, firm surface. The burning heat is in the interior and the rays sent off from the exterior are really generated from within. Upon some points of the Sun are dark spots where the crust is quite thin, and these are produced by extra heat upon the interior of these points. These are what are called sunspots, and they produce much trouble upon the Earth plane. Although this crust upon the Sun is hard and firm to us and quite pleasant to walk upon, yet it would be impossible for physical beings to move about upon it, even though they could reach it, for it would be intensely hot to their feet. The exterior of the Sun is an interesting point, but we do not intend to stop here. We have the privilege and the power, as spiritual beings, to pass within, where greater wonders exist. It is comparatively easy to pass within the Sun, and once within we find much to delight and inspire us. There are many wonderful caves and grottos, where hang suspended pendants of every color in the rainbow. Of course the interior is not all alike. There are chambers in the Sun, where are generated peculiar gases, that find their way eventually to the Earth's atmosphere, having been changed and transmuted by chemical law into some element that is needed by the great world of nature. Some points within the Sun were lakes of boiling fire, and the air was filled with showers of gold and silver rays. In some parts of the Sun there were snow and ice, and when these sides were turned toward the Earth there were generated cold vibrations, and the Earth suffered from cold. The change in the seasons had much to do with this last fact. In parts of the Sun were summer scenes, there were lakes, rivers, mountains, flowers, trees, foliage and water. But in every part that we visited we found no inhabitants outside of those who had visited the for the purpose of exploration. In looking at the Sun from the Earth, one will often be able to distinguish dark spots. These sunspots are the exterior surface of a boiling, red-hot, interior, and when they are in affinity with the Earth there is intense heat. We saw much that was beautiful within the Sun. In one magnificent grotto the place seemed bathed in a deep purple light, and curious formations resembling flowers, foliage and plants were seen. They appeared to be carved from iridescent stone, but upon examination proved to be the result of some gaseous disturbance within the depths of the grotto. In one place far in the northwest corner of the Sun was a point called the Fountain of Living Waters. A stream of water several hundred feet in diameter and of a deep, green color tossed its spray into the air. There was a peculiar power in this water, and all who stood beneath it were conscious of a peculiar electric sensation vibrating through the spiritual body. In some parts of the sun it would have been quite dark, had it not been for the spiritual power which enabled us to see light anywhere. One point particularly interesting was called the Arcana of Light. It was a point within the sun as large as the Earth's surface, and was a center of the most brilliant light. Lights there were that had never been seen upon the material plane and most beautiful to look upon. There were parts where hung, suspended upon the trees, the most delicious appearing fruit, but it was only a formation and was not to eat. There were dark places that seemed like bottomless pits from whence were issuing white vapor and clouds of reddish light. These points are all serving a peculiar purpose designed by the Creator. The different vibrations sent off by the sun were of various colors and power of strength. Some, by the time they reached the earth, contained but a very small part of the original element, others as they passed through the different gradations of atmosphere gathered to themselves various elements. These combined together formed an element that was very necessary to the sustainment and growth of physical nature. One vibration sent to the earth from the sun, unless cooled before reaching the earth plane, would scorch and consume everything in its path, and total annihilation of the physical would be the result. The sun is composed of electric and magnetic force powerfully blended. We may say that the sun is the soul of the physical plane. Chapter 7. A Trip Through Space. Content in this chapter. Beyond spiritual ether, new planetary systems, Mars and Venus, the Martians, glass, stars in the process of formation in some regions, aerolites, comets and flying stars, vacating the physical, Mercury's blue vibrations, some planets have no light of their own. What a remarkable trip is that which takes one up through the material atmosphere beyond the spiritual ether, and still farther beyond the starry worlds made partially visible to the eye of material man. Millions of miles through space where new planetary systems are in a state of development for the years that are to come. It is impossible for the mind of man to grasp the wonderful, brilliant kaleidoscopic picture that is shown to the spiritual being who is permitted to view God's handiwork, may say, beyond the stars, meaning, of course, the stars which are visible to the inhabitants of the earth plane. But there are wonders that are still undreamed of. Those beings who inhabit Mars and Venus have developed ingenuity enough to construct telescopes of sufficient power to bring the starry bodies beyond them within close range of their vision. In some respects, the Martians are more ingenious than the inhabitants of the Earth plane. They have a remarkable faculty in the making of glass, glass which cannot be broken and which is used largely in constructing their homes and in many other ways. I have spoken of the people of Mars only in a way to serve as an illustration. It is indeed interesting to behold what is taking place in the growth of the celestial bodies of space. In some regions of space beyond the boundaries of known stars, we behold what we term stardust. There are regions of small stars in the process of formation, stars from the size of a silver dollar to those several miles in circumference. Such a shooting, hissing and roaring as goes on continually, if one were not a spiritual being, I believe he would tremble for his life, had he the power to visit these regions of space that I have mentioned. At times in these illimitable regions of space we seem to move through circles of intense light, yet there are no suns in close proximity, no stars either, for that matter, simply circle after circle of the most intense light, one might say a world of encircled light, one within the other, sometimes of varied colors and tints, then again all of one color, flame color or pale gold. In some regions of space we may travel for many miles through darkness and then suddenly come into a region where are softly falling rays of gold and silver light. In some places it will seem as though a terrific explosion is going on. Lightning plays and bombs of light seem to fly and break in all directions. In these fiery regions dark intervening spaces are visible, but no feeling of fear is experienced, since all spiritual beings are able to comprehend that there is no celestial or terrestrial element which can harm them, So the experience of exploring space is more interesting and pleasant than otherwise. The planets and stars visible to material eyes receive vibrations from the stars beyond them, just as the Earth plane receives vibrations from the starry bodies above. These stars, as I have said, that are in the far beyond, are of different sizes and stages of development. Some hold one particular place, while others move in the region that I have been touching upon. Aerolites, comets and flying stars are exceedingly common.